Well, our text today is found in 2 Samuel 23, and we're going to start with verse 8 and then read through 24. This passage could be rated PG-13 due to violence. I will read it. These are the names of the mighty men from David had: Joshibeth, Beth, the Talcammonite. He was chief of the three. He welded his spear against 800 whom he killed at one time. And next to him among three mighty men was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the son of Ai, who was with David when they defiled the Philistines, who gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel withdrew. He rose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the men returned after him only to strip the slain. And next to him was Sham, the son of Agee, the Heratite. The Philistines gathered together at Lehi, where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the men fled from the Philistines. But he took his hand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines, and the Lord worked a great victory. And the three of the 30 chief men went down and came about harvest time to David at the cave of Adullam, when a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David's was there in that stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was there at Bethlehem. And David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well at Bethlehem that's by the gate." And the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and carried it and brought it to David. But he would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. And these things the three mighty men did. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zerah, was chief of the 30. And he welded his spear against 300 men and killed them and won a name beside the three. And he was the most renowned of the 30 and became their commander. But he did not attain to the three. Then Ahiah, the son of Jehoiada, was a valiant man, and Kabzeel, a doer of great deeds. He struck down two Ariels of Moab, and he also went down and struck down a lion in a pit on a day of when the snow had fallen. And he struck down an Egyptian, a handsome man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, and Benaiah went down to him with a staff and snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah did, the son of Jehoiada, and won a name besides the mighty men. He was renowned among the 30, but did not attain to the three. And David set him over his bodyguard. And Ashiel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. I'm going to stop here. There's a list of 30 more men in this chapter who were part of the mighty men of David. In fact, if you're reading from your Bible, that's probably the caption: David's mighty men. I confess, I know what you're thinking. I don't get it, Anderson. Why are you preaching on this passage? Well, I'm going to use this passage more as an example. See, these were David's special ops. These were David's mighty warriors. And when I was reading this some months ago, I looked at this passage, I go, this passage doesn't fit. The whole book of 2 Samuel is about David and his kingdom and what it took for David to become king and establish a nation of Israel as part of fulfilling the covenant that God gave to Israel and Israel gave to God, that agreement that Israel would become the people of God and God would become the God of Israel and protect them. And David, in a way, has fulfilled this covenant. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? The chapter before this are the last words of David, and then you have this list of mighty warriors full of courage. And then it dawned on me, David did not do this by himself. He did not establish Israel as a nation. Following the covenant that God established with Israel on his own, he had the help of the three, the special, wow, warriors of great courage and strength, and the 30. In fact, there were 37. Some died in the process and became part of the 30. Now, the very fact that David did not do this on his own, I think, is a great example to how God works in the second covenant. That's us. See, what has happened since the Old Testament, the kingdom of Israel has been essentially replaced by the church. That is us. And we are part of the second covenant that came through the death of Jesus Christ. But in the fulfillment of the second covenant, of which we, the church, are part of, God doesn't take its leaders and just put them out there on their own. God gives special gifts to the valiant, the 30, and all the rest. So that the second covenant, as the church, can do its job and bring in the kingdom of God, and which is part of God's sovereign plan all along. And that's where we come in. You see, we are part of the second covenant. We are part of the church. And if Lake Region actually had a list of, I could call it Pastor Marcus's mighty men. I did mention that to Pastor Marcus, and he kind of got embarrassed. I'm going to say Lake Region's mighty men and women, because that is probably a better description of who we are. If that list was out there, we would be named in that list, because we are part, and we have been given gifts in order that we may build up the body of Christ. These gifts are given by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit distributes this for the edification of our church and the buildup of our church. One of the three mighty men on that list has fallen. Clarence. And what made Clarence such a mighty man of Lake Region Bible Church was that he used his gifts that he was given by the Holy Spirit to the honor and the glory of God. He served with joy. He went through his life serving God, serving the church, serving others by using what has been given to him. Now, he's not here. He is gone. God has taken him and I'm sure just looked at him and said, "Well done, faithful servant." Mm-hmm. We mourn because he's not here, although we rejoice because he is there. Mm-hmm. Although, let me focus a little bit on these gifts here. Maybe you're not familiar with the spiritual gifts. You see, when Jesus left the disciples, it's kind of like, this Jesus, Clarence leaving us. Okay, it's not like Clarence with Jesus or anything. But we are here thinking, oh, what are we going to do now? Clarence left. We're at church here. What's going to happen? Well, Jesus, he left the disciples, and they were in the same boat. What's going to happen? How do you establish your kingdom? They were a timid little group, huddling and hiding at that point. And Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit called the Comforter. You just wait and you will know. And the Holy Spirit converted these 12 timid men into God's mighty army. And those 12 men evangelized and established Christianity through the Holy Spirit and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me read a little bit about gifts here. I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians 12. There are multiple passages about spiritual gifts. And this is one of four main ones, and there's other ones scattered about. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but it's the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, ability to distinguish between spirits, and another various kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretations of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. You see, you have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit by the very fact that you are a Christian and in part of this church. It's up to you to use them. That's all. And the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts liberally and with his knowledge. And we have all been given different gifts. Now, I was reflecting on this and I was thinking, well, Clarence had special gifts. So I started to think about what are the top 10 gifts that Clarence had. And, you know, kind of like an old David Letterman, you know, he always had his top 10 list. Although he read them backwards, I'm going to do them forwards. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're saying and you're mentioning gifts, there's always a little bit of fuzziness because the biblical scholars, they will divide up the gifts different ways. You know, for example, one says there's only 7 spiritual gifts, another, you know, there's 20, and in fact, I read one and it was very well written, 27 spiritual gifts out there. Really, it's all the same pie. It's how you cut it up. Are they big pieces or small pieces? There are clumpers who make them big, splitters who make them very narrow. I'm going to be doing some clumping and splitting here. Some are going to be big, some are going to be narrow, but it's all part of the same pie. Coming up with the one spiritual gift that I thought Clarence distributed to this church was hard. And I finally zeroed in on, and you might disagree, which, by the way, is fine. I thought it was the gift of discernment and wisdom. He was a wise man. Now, discernment, which goes along with wisdom, and some say they're separate gifts, remember the pie, and I'll figure it out. A discerning person is a person who can take and look into a person or a statement or a situation or an environment and be able to distinguish, is this of God or is it not? And that's why they're so good at resolving conflict, because they can identify the innocent, identify the guilty, identify the situation. And Clarence was a master of that. And being with him in elder meetings and seeing him interact with people made this gift so prominent in the life of this church. But it was always underneath everything. It was never put out as a badge. It was always, we need to resolve this, let's figure it out. Now, we have people with this gift also in this church. It's not that this gift left us because Clarence left. I have seen examples of great discernment here in this church. Now, this I could be in trouble here. I'm going to mention names. And one of the rules, number one, that I've heard, because my dad was a preacher, so, you know, he kind of says, this is how you preach. But you don't really mention names in sermons very much, because you're probably going to offend somebody at some point. I'm going to risk that. I'm giving you my list of who I have seen discernment within this church, who are exercising that gift. Here's the list. Well, Gail, in fact. Gail and Clarence are like this. So when I talk about Clarence, it's probably Gail, too. All right. Gwen has that. I have seen that. Doug and Ginny. My wife is very discerning to my disadvantage. Scott and Margie, they're very discerning. And I have seen them exercise this gift within this church to the honor and glory of God for the building of us as a church. Gift number two for Clarence, I thought it was the gift of helps. It's also known as servants. This church is so good at that. Well, we're a small church. We are a small church. And a small church can't operate unless people are serving. There's just not enough people to go around. And this gift is, boy, this is the Holy Spirit in this church, okay? He's just sending it out there. And we serve. And this is where Clarence was such we see this in Clarence so much because he was serving so much with joy. And service can be anything, whether it's maintenance, whether it's cleanup, whether it's moving furniture, whether it's out in the parking lot, fixing the basketball hoop, mowing the grass. This is all service. And I'm going to give you a list. This is going to be basically the whole church. Tom has the gift of service. We are here dry and warm and through the winter because of Tom. And Doug contributes to that as well. John, service, and Jeff. And a lot of times it just happens. Nobody asks them. It just happens. John Ridley, he was cleaning up after the service some weeks ago, and Justin was helping out at the bridge. Doug and Ginny, Melissa and Adrian, Melissa with helping with foods and being concerned. Shar and Daniel, Shar with the bridge, and did you notice the pastor's kids? When they come from school, they're put to work here in this church. I'm not saying that they have to. No, they serve. You see Josiah making sure that we have streaming going on and doing with the electrical. Of course, along with Bob and along with Peg, making sure that this electric age and digital age can be used to our full advantage. I can just keep on going. Georgia and Jana and Kevin and Denise and Luke and Peggy and Bob and Bosty. I miss people. But service is such a very important aspect for the body of Christ. Although gift number three is giving. See, I think the third biggest gift that Clarence has is his generosity. And we don't know exactly, we don't know the numbers. I'm just going to give you a story. See, Clarence and I retired from high school, so we're on the same pension system. And every January, we get a cost of living increase. So, hey, Clarence, we got a cost of living increase. Isn't that great? And Clarence goes, yeah, man, we can get more than church. And he's like, oh, I was thinking a new fly rod. Clarence, that's the way he thought. He did consulting work special ed work in the school districts all around the northern Chicago area. I don't think he ever cashed the checks. He just turned them over to Round Lake Bible Church. You'll never know that. And that's the way he thought. Oh, I got a raise. I got a better chance to give. So the whole point here is we have these chances, and he gave with such love and dignity. It was always cheerful. And no, I'm not going to name any names here. Okay? We are a giving church. We have a budget of over $100,000. And we're not a big church. We are the giving church. But without it, some of these things can't be done for God's honor and glory. So Clarence is just a wonderful example. And Elaine, thanks for Clarence's poem. Hold it. What is it again? You got to give, you do your giving while you're living, so you're knowing where it's going. No expectations back. It's not like giving is my motto so that I can win the lotto. That's sometimes the attitude of giving, but that is not the gift of giving, because you are expecting something back. And God blesses the cheerful giver. Number four. I know what you're thinking. Man, he's got six left. Okay. Number four, shepherding. Shepherding is a lot like leadership. It's how you cut the pie, again, remember that. But shepherding is a little different than a leader. A shepherd actively gets involved in the life of a sheep. And leaders don't necessarily, I mean, look at our politicians. So, actively get involved, and that was Clarence. We have wonderful shepherds here in our church. Naomi and Lizzie, the youth groups, Bridge, you are shepherds. And I've heard you as you're talking about how the youth are you want to get even more actively involved in their lives. And Mike and Kathy, they're shepherds. Mike has a burden for discipleship. That's a shepherd's heart. And Kathy as well. Doug and Ginny, they're shepherds. They're neighbors around their home. It's almost like they have their own little church established in their neighborhood, in which they are part of the shepherding process. We have more. I'm just going to move on. Gift number five, encouragement. It's also, I'm going to lump it in the piece of pie of empathy. Clarence was an encourager, and he was a mercy giver, very empathetic. And I'm putting these two gifts into one because you really can't have one without the other. The empathy drives you because you can put yourself in their situation. But then, if you just, oh, I know how you feel, no, you encourage them. You can do this. Not that I just don't know how you feel, but you can rise above this. And you see, that's the gift of encouragement along with the gift of empathy. And that's essentially what Clarence was in this church. A very encourager, empathetic kind of person. And we have this here. And Yolanta comes to mind. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And Georgia. And Gwen. I saw Paul yesterday encouraging and showing the compassion to Helen. And I go, wow, what a demonstration of that gift. David and Lenore, your burden for special needs and how you have shown us as a church the need to always be inclusive with special needs. And it is just a pleasure to have you part of this church to show that empathy and encouragement. Teaching and preaching. I'm going to put those together. That was, I'm going to say number six for Clarence, although he was a great teacher. And you just have to sit through one of his Sunday school classes. You're not quite sure if he's teaching or just telling stories. But it was just awesome. Teachers and preachers, they like to study, and then they also like to give and help the other people learn. But you can always tell a teacher or a preacher because they love to take in and they love to dish out. It involves both. And we've got some wonderful teachers in this congregation. Mike, as far as theology and understanding the Bible, a wonderful teacher. And Naomi and Lizzie, I've seen you with the youth group. Wonderful teachers. John helped me in Sunday school, of course, before COVID. And I should just hand him the lesson, you know. Thank you, John. And other John Ridley as well. I mean, they're called into teaching even outside the church. And what a wonderful thing to be blessed in within the church. Number seven, Clarence's gift of hospitality. And that gift of hospitality, Clarence and Gail always made their house available. But it's more than just opening up your house, although that's a big thing of hospitality. It also includes interacting with strangers. For example, when somebody comes into the church, Clarence was there. Hi, how's it going? That's hospitality. Making people feel comfortable within the framework of our body. That's hospitality. Showing mercy, giving needs to those who are, that's hospitality as well. And many of us have been to probably all the homes at some point in here and have been shown hospitality by others in this church. For example, Dan and Kitty, they open their home as foster parents. What an example of hospitality. Henry and Aisha, thank you for your hospitality and how you have opened up your home. And I'm going to give you a hint right now. If you're ever invited to a party by Aisha and Henry, go! I'm not going to say anymore. Bob and Basti, Denise and Kevin, thank you. And Mike and Kathy, and Scott and Margie, and Tom and Yolanta, and Doug and Ginny, and Brenda, opened up their homes for others here and shown giving to people of need. We have those gifts. And now the most boring gift, according to me, administration. Clarence had it, although I think he kept it hidden because he didn't enjoy it, per se, but he gave it. Administration is the ability to organize and to govern. In fact, in Greek, to steer, like the captain of the ship. This is where we're going, to administer. And Clarence, of course, I can see him in, you know, our meetings, our elders' meetings, and board meetings, and he had the gift. We have people in this church who are wonderful administrators who have been given that gift by the Holy Spirit. You know, for example, Scott is treasurer. How he is able to take, this is what we have, here's what we can do, maybe we can do this. See, he's administrating. Jana is another great administrator. She probably gets that from her mother, Sharon, who is a wonderful organizer and administrator. And Gwen, you have it, but thank you. I mean, it's Kevin and Denise, you are good administrators, and thank you. The gift of faith is a gift that we all have, and it comes from the Holy Spirit, but some just seem to show it better than others. And I think a lot has to do with the signs of faith. You can always tell a person of faith because they pray a lot. They're prayer warriors. We meet on Wednesday nights. They have the gift of faith. They see the value of getting together and sharing this gift with each other and praying with the faith that God is going to answer these prayers in His own time. And we have prayer warriors here. We lost a prayer warrior with Clarence, yes, but we still have our prayer warriors amongst our 30 mighty men, which, Scott and Margie and Doug and Ginny and Kevin and Denise and Sharon and Kim. Kim is a prayer warrior. And she has the gift of faith. Helen is a prayer warrior. She has the gift of faith. And we look at the gifts of faith as something that the Holy Spirit distributes and we accept. And keep in mind, it comes from above, and we need to pray for it. Number 10, the gift of worship. And by the way, in the pie divisions, this wasn't part of the pie on many of the biblical scholars. In fact, one said, there is no gift of worship. Okay, fine. And the reason why he said there's no gift of worship, because in the list, in the different chapters of the spiritual gifts, worship is never mentioned. And in a way, that's a valid point. But I think there is a gift of worship, even though it's not mentioned, because I think those gifts of the Spirit weren't necessarily the ending group, if you know what I mean. Just these are the only ones, and there are no others. Now, the gift of worship can be seen in the sense that that person has the ability to take a situation and have those around them to focus on God and who He is. You talk to them and they communicate how God is in charge of this, how God is sovereign, how God should be praised, because that's how God is, and He is worthy of worship. They can direct the conversation to who God is. And we have people who do that here. Clarence was a master at this. And you say, well, we have this situation, Clarence. And he'd say, yeah, isn't God amazing? We have people like that. I mean, Helen has the gift of worship, even in our worship times. Her, just that innocent sense of God, take it from me. And we're able to see that. Those of you in the worship team, what you are doing, you're taking your talent and you're directing it so that we out there can appreciate God through your music. See, you have the gift of worship. I mean, there's a reason why they call it worship team, because you are serving in that. Bob and Naomi and Naomi Fox and Kevin and Lizzie and Denise, who's helped, and Daniel, who's helped, and Char has helped, and Tracy, thank you, even today. Peg, you have helped, and Jana has helped, and Nate is... We have a wonderful group to help direct our worship, and that is a gift. But I do want to mention one thing. Clarence, he had the gift of worship, but not the gift of music. He knew that. And in his discernment, he knew that he shouldn't be up here. See, that's how the gifts work. We don't get everything, and we need to be discerning in what we have and what we can do. Although, sometimes we are called to expand our borders and perhaps find out that maybe we are gifted in certain areas. Although Clarence knew he wasn't in that. Now, Clarence isn't with us anymore. And when I was reading Pastor Carey's letter yesterday at the memorial service, he had a metaphor which I just thought was just so good. And you know, Pastor Carey is a wonderful metaphorist, if that's an actual name. I'm going to quote him. He said, this was in his letter, "There is no replacing a Clarence. A gaping hole has been created. A mighty oak has fallen." Now, he didn't call them mighty men, but he called them mighty oak. And I like the biology of that. Of course, it's a biology teaching. See, the thing about an oak tree is that it's very hard for younger oak trees to grow under the mighty oak. You ever go and walk through the forest? Did you see like little oaks underneath big oaks? No, you don't. And that's part of the problem when you have a person like Clarence who's using his gifts and he's doing it accordingly. We tend to stand back. Well, Clarence will do it. Clarence will do it. Clarence will do it. Now we're given a chance. Yeah, we're the young oaks underneath. We now can step up. There's a good athletic term for it. Step up. And this is our chance to even expand our gifts, to even expand more. And that's kind of scary. And I'm sure all of you, when you found out Clarence had passed away, gone to glory, were thinking, oh no, who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? We have gifted people here already. God did not take Clarence so that we could not function as a church. We are going to use our gifts and keep on functioning and edifying our body of Christ like we are commanded to. And it's the natural result. And a functioning church is an emergent property. When all the parts are working together, the church grows in the glory and understanding of God. And that's why we meet, we worship, and we glorify God in the process. I'm going to leave this verse, or a couple of verses with you, because it basically states what I am stating. It's one of those passages on the gifts found in Romans 12. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our service, serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortations. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And that's Clarence. He did those things. But what a wonderful example. It's our turn to step up and contribute our gifts to this church even more. Thank you.